Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk more about our future. What does that mean? Well, there are things happening in this, not only in this world, but in this universe that appear to be bringing great change. And one of the changes might be more contact. What does that mean, contact? Well, to help us understand contact is the author of this wonderful book that's been out. It's a big hit called Making Contact. And the author, Alan Steinfeld, was on the show recently, and he's back again. Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you, Peter. Always good to join you on Energy Stew, because it certainly is that, an Energy Stew existence.
I hope so.
I try. It's a good name. I've never really thought about it because I've heard you use it, but I think you're right. It's an Energy Stew.
Right. So we're going to stew up some information here.
Yes.
And I'm very excited about your book because it covers so many different aspects of multidimensional realities, extraterrestrial existence, all kinds of awarenesses that the public has had over millennia that needs more clarity.
Yeah.
And your book helps us understand maybe what needs more clarity, because maybe the only clarity we're ever going to get is when there's actual disclosure, full disclosure.
Well, no, I don't think that's the only clarity we'll ever get. We're getting it through so much that has gone down in the last, you know, since we've started expos and lectures and healing.
Right. There's clarity, but I'm talking about full clarity so the public starts to wake up more.
Well, what are they waking up to? The fact that they are energy stews, that they're energy, that they
yes,
are
they don't know that.
Right. But that's what they're waking up to. But even for me and you, we've been around it for a while. It's an ongoing process. So yes, we know we're more than just the body. That's sort of the baseline for the kind of spiritual communities we've been living in and sharing and being a part of. But now we're learning to apply that. We're learning to appreciate that. We're learning to work with that intention and love and compassion and sending energies. So it's unfolding, you know.
But we're a very small percentage of the population.
Yes.
And it's interesting now that we're seeing all around the world how vulnerable the aware population is.
Yes.
To the powers that be and how manipulative our world has become.
Well, I just want to share with you, my book is great, but there's a new book out, and I'm also promoting this. I have nothing to do with it, but it is a book called Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, which is about...
I love the title.
Which is about the government studies of UFOs, UAPs, and how it's directly connected to the paranormal and psychic activity.
Well, but remember, this is a radio show, so please describe this.
Okay. The book is called Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, and it's by James Lakovsky and Colm Gallagher and George Knapp, which people know. And they take the government program started initially because they were looking at this place called Skinwalker Ranch that had lots of strange anomalies going on. There'd be interdimensional beings show up. And these are military people. They don't know anything about paranormal or psychic phenomena, but yet these strange, strange phenomena would come on, portals being open, people being chased home by these entities that would come through the portals. I mean, very creepy, strange stuff. And now the government is investigating that. this is not woo-woo anymore. This is, I don't know, science, but it's a would-be science because there's a science to the paranormal. It's nothing's really paranormal, but it's outside. And I think this is the theme of the program. It's outside of what we've been taught to think is normal. But as we know, over the last 2 years, there is no more normal. Normal was wiped off the books in 2019. That was the end of normal. And now, would you imagine everyone wearing masks 5 years ago when you walk down the street? I mean, I just think it's so surreal. Everyone has a mask everywhere. I mean, it's like, how did that happen in 2 years? And it's like we landed on a different planet. Was that normal 3 years ago? No, there is no more normal. Paranormal is becoming the normal in relationship to the greater phenomena. So this the COVID lockdown, whatever you want to call it, has brought us into a new relationship to reality, basically. It's a new fundamental, I mean, that we're not who we think we are. You know, everyone wants their reality to be what they've been taught it is, because that makes their world safe, secure, and predictable, right? That's how people want to live. They want, like my mother, she says to me, she wants every day to be exactly the same as the day before. This way, she doesn't have to think about anything. That wouldn't that be the most boring thing in the world? But, you know, people are in a lot of fear, but they're the fear of what? The fear of the known. Where we're heading, Peter, is into the unknown. There's nothing to fear about the unknown. We're only projecting the known onto the unknown. And the known is all the things we've been afraid of, all these things. But imagine if something brand new would exist for us that had nothing to do with the fears of the past, that had to do with possibilities, openness, creativity, invention, discovery. This is the unknown. This has always been the unknown.
And it's been blocked so much. Scientists who invent new things get into trouble. You know, it's like the public doesn't, even the scientific establishment doesn't really want new. They want everything known. And
right. That's the problem with the scientific. That's the problem with new ideas. The whole scientific revolution, theories of scientific revolution by Thomas Kuhn. He basically says science progresses one funeral at a time because scientists get attached to the way they think the world is. But a way to evolve science is to look at anomalies, right? Anomalies that don't fit into the existing theory. And there's nothing more anomalous than UFOs.
Well, but also, by the way, Rupert Sheldrake wrote about how difficult the scientific world is, and they shunned him because of his discoveries.
They kicked him off TED Talks. Clint canceled. I mean,
that says something about TED Talks. If they, you know,
Rupert Sheldrake is one of the great geniuses of our time. He's looking at science in a different way. I think his book called The New Theories of Science talks about morphogenetic fields, how we exist in a field.
And it makes all the sense in the world when you read about them.
Well, it makes sense to us. I don't think it makes sense.
Have to understand that the animal kingdom, because he's a famous biologist, and he understood how the animal kingdom communicates with itself. And even through species and through all kinds of larger macro intelligence. And it makes sense to understand the world that way, because then it's totally understandable. Otherwise, there are just too many mysteries. But the traditional scientific world just wants to leave things the way they are and ignore them. That's a lot of what's happening, even with what your book and everything, is that the traditional people just want to ignore what they don't know.
Exactly. Well, the unknown is always lurking behind some dark corner. You know, the future, I think this is one of George Bush's things that he didn't even know what he was saying, but he said the future will be better tomorrow. The future is not what it used to be, basically. You know, so we, if we're a progressive evolving society, look to artists and creative people who are thinking outside the box to push the envelope of new visions. We need that in order for society to evolve. There's a book written in the 60s called The Long Revolution. The Long Revolution by Raymond Williams. He says there's always a conflict between those pushing the boundaries and those trying to straighten out those boundaries, clean it up, establishing, oh, so there's a new art. I talk about art a lot. And so there's a new art form. There's abstract expressionism, you know, let's try to explain it in terms of the old ways of thinking, but you can't. So we create new terms, and then you try to explain the new forms of art in the old terms. The envelope is constantly moving forward. And so we have to look to get out of the old categorizations of reality and phenomena and keep pushing towards the new and the unknown. We can't be trapped by what we think the world is.
All right, so let's project forward to this potential disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not potential. It's happened. We've got to.
No, I'm talking about in ways that really create confusion on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. No matter how slow or fast this disclosure happens, it'll disrupt our whole world as we know it.
That's been the hypothesis, that finding out that we're not alone in the universe would disrupt our world. I don't think so.
But I don't think that's the problem.
Oh, what's the problem?
I think that people can, if you ask them, they can imagine that with trillions of planets, there's got to be life somewhere else.
Right.
The issue is advanced civilizations that can actually come here almost instantaneously with perhaps giant ships and very advanced technologies that we realize how primitive we are.
Right. Well, I hope we already realize that, you know.
No, we don't. That's the whole thing about blinders. No, let's believe we're this very advanced culture alone in the universe. And we're just going through a state of confusion right now. But we are so advanced.
Well,
over 100 years ago, the U.S. Patent Office said maybe they should close because no one's going to invent anything new anymore.
Exactly. And that's been the history of inventions. You know, when Alexander Graham Bell brought the idea of telephones, which were really, they weren't there to have conversations. The first telephones imitated the telegraph. So people would just send messages back and forth. They say, you know, come meet me here. So Alexander Bell went to London and said, well, if we just wire the whole city with these lines, everyone could like talk to each other immediately. And the mayor of London said, why do we need to go through all that trouble when messenger boys can simply send messages to other people? That's what I call horse and buggy thinking. Why do you want the stinking machine to drive around when you have a very functional horse and buggy to drive through the streets? People don't see the progress. When railroads came out in 1829, Martin Van Buren said, we don't want these things ruining our countryside with smoke and scaring women and children. People should not be allowed to go faster than 30 miles an hour. This is what he says. So, this is the thinking of humanity that tries to keep everything the way it was. And if we haven't learned anything in the last 2 years, and maybe we haven't learned anything, it's things are never the way they were. We'll never make America great again because it's, you know, don't mean to get in politically, but it's like, it's an ongoing dream of reality. We are here to make every moment great. Not again, great, because it's full of invention and possibility. We have to look, you know, Marshall McLuhan says, most people look out of their rearview mirror at the world. We have to turn that around and look at out the front window about what is possible. What great inventions can move our society forward with ease, possibility, abundance, free energy. You know that free energy is available if you just let it out of the bag. Imagine what that would be due to the world. And I think that's part of the suppression of the UFO information, because obviously they're not filling up their gas tanks with fossil fuel to get here from wherever they're coming from.
But that's the point. Yeah, that there's so much advanced technology that we are a very primitive culture with the technology that we have. And there's probably a lot of very advanced technology that the government has had, owned, and used for decades that the public has no idea about.
You know what the problem with it is? We're working on our technology based on theories that are 400 years old. Newton's law of thermodynamics says you push one thing out that way, you propel it this way. I think it's the third law. That's how we're running our cars, airplanes, boats, everything on this combustion engine, which is it's polluting, it's destroying our planet. It doesn't make sense. And there's technologies we have access to if we just let ourselves venture into the unknown. I mean,
no, but that's the idea.
Well, let's wake up to some new realities here, Peter.
Yes, that's the idea. The problem is that humanity really is limited intelligence, because we're not awake enough. If we were awake enough, we wouldn't be fighting each other in order to maintain these old-fashioned systems.
Well, that's true, but let's just take what we can have here. Let's see why people are so resistant to change. And like I said, people are taught to fear by their governments, by their religions, by their media, by their education. They're brought up in a culture of fear. So how do you prevent or stay safe is by doing what you're told, you know, looking down, not looking up.
How about thinking as you're told?
Yeah, thinking. It's conditioning. You know, I love the Terence McKenna line, culture is not your friend, because culture, in the most part, civilization that conditions our thinking, keeps us in this box. So we constantly have to look for the new and the unknown, even in our everyday world, even in this moment. What's new? What do you notice in the room you're sitting in that you haven't noticed before? Look at that marvel. How could it have been there for 20 years and suddenly you see maybe it's a crack in the wall, maybe it's a painting you haven't looked at, or a book on the shelf. Sometimes I find books on shelves in my apartment and say, how did this get here? You know, but because I have hundreds of books and I haven't read them all, but you know, every moment is new and alive. These words coming out of our mouths are not planned and they're not scripted, and they're in the flow of the Tao. The Tao is the movement of eternity through the existence of time and the present moment. We are in the motions. So welcome it. This is where dreams may come. This is where dreams do come. They come in the perceptions of unknown realities. The artist creates by making known the unknown, by allowing people to feel what they have never felt before. So creativity is the way we can all break out of this box of the known. When you sit in front of a blank piece of paper, whether you're a writer, a poet, a painter, you're confronted with the possibilities of infinity. And then an idea comes from. You know, one of my favorite stories is I was reading Keith Richards' autobiography, Life, and it's a thick book. But, you know, Keith and the Rolling Stones manager said to Mick and Keith, you know, everyone's doing their own songs. You're never going to be big unless you write your own material. You can't use the Beatles stuff anymore. You got to write your own. And Keith and Mick never wrote a song. So the manager, whoever they was, locks them in a room and says, you're not coming out until you write your first song here. I don't know if he locks them in the room. So they're sitting there, you know, and Keith just looks around and he writes the line down. It is the hour of the day. And Mick then comes back and with a little poetic line, he says, I sit and watch the children play. And then Keith says, out of nowhere, I heard this song. I heard this melody. These words unfolded. The music wrote itself. And there it was. I forgot what song that is, but it's that first that first song that they wrote together, you know? So it's like, what is that? As Days Go By, I think it's something like that. But, you know,
Where does inspiration come from? And it actually comes from, let's call it a higher mind, a more multidimensional mind that has much more scope to it than our limited conscious brains.
It comes from that mind. The word inspiration means to be inspirited. The spirit comes through.
Right.
So, you know, Socrates had an argument with this. It's in the dialogues of Ion, Plato's dialogue. And he says to this poet, do you know what makes your work so great? He was a rhapsoder. They would actually just recite the great poetries of people like Homer. And so the poet says, yes, it's the expression and my intention and the way I feel. And Socrates says, no, that's not what makes your work so great. It's when you're out of the way and the gods are speaking through you. That makes your work great. Right.
I've spoken with many famous musicians who say that they're not writing their music.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. What's her name? Gilbert. What's the one who wrote Eat, Pray, Love? Elizabeth Gilbert. There's a talk on TED Talk about the genie and the genius and these inspirations that songwriters get sometimes. And she tells the story of Tom Waits driving along in his car, and this incredible song comes right into his head, and he yells, can't you see I'm driving? So he had to wait till he gets home. But, you know, some other person, she said, this woman who was the poet or writer heard this song coming from the distance, this poetry, and she ran into her house to get a piece of paper. So when it arrived, she could write it down. So where does inspiration? Maybe it's the higher mind. Maybe it's the unknown. Maybe it's UFOs, or maybe it's coming from this fabric of time, space, creating itself in the moment with infinite possibilities. That's
right,
maybe.
Right. Tapping into the universal computer.
Right. So that's the miracle of our time. That's where our future lies. It doesn't lie in technology. That might help, but it lies with technology, allowing everyone to be the creator of their reality, of their art, to be the artist of your life, of that moment, to put your sense of being into the passion you want to create. That will be the flowering of humanity. This is
But what we're hearing from you,
yeah,
is what I expect, that when the ETs finally arrive and publicly, and this is what they'll be teaching, what you're teaching. So who are you?
I'm an ET.
Right.
It's been teaching it, but you know, the thing about ETs that I've been able to put together is that they don't speak to us in the language that we are speaking in now. We're speaking in words. They speak in symbols. They speak in less concretized
words. But words are meaning, and meaning is what gets communicated telepathically. That's how the universe communicates, is through meaning, because we all have so many different languages that we take that meaning and translate it into what our minds can comprehend.
Right. But the meanings that are intended is not the meaning of the word. It's the association that we make around the word.
Right. So and our words can limit the meaning.
Well, exactly. And it does. So I think the ETs communicate in symbols, which are a cluster of meaning. A symbol doesn't, if I give you the thumbs up, that just doesn't mean yes. It means you're okay. It means great. It means fine. So the images or the symbols create clusters of meaning that are keeping the wave function alive. This is how I interpret it.
I love the idea of this.
Right. So the wave function is collapsed when I said, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like when you look at a tree and you say, that's a tree, and you collapse the wave function thinking you know what that is. If you stand in front of a tree and don't label it, you're going to see a fantastic alive being standing in front of you. That's nothing you can label. So right. The left brain likes to label things. The right brain lives in possibilities. Of course, we're here to become whole brain, not left or right, but combine that together into a union of possibilities. So we have to stop thinking the world is the way we think it is, because it's never the way we think it is. Left brain the idiot in the room, right? Did you
I don't remember that particular quote. Yeah.
Because it doesn't know anything. It just thinks it does.
Right.
And thinking so, is not knowing. There's a difference between logos and gnosis, like thinking, the logic.
I agree with you.
And gnosis.
There's different circuitry in the brain. And knowing is perhaps the highest circuitry.
Well, I wouldn't even call that circuitry. I think that transcends circuitry. When you know, like you're not thinking you're in that sitting in that room there or wherever you are, you know it. There's things you know that transcend circuitry.
Right.
I think we're beyond circuitry. We're more knowing.
On that note, we have to
know. Did I give you a note?
Yeah, okay. That note of this last
okay.
Wonderful.
But open up new realities is the theme.
Okay. And your book is Making Contact, and you're at newrealities.com.
Right. The subtitle is Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. Preparing is just knowing what's possible.
Right.
And being open to it.
This is great. And I hope everybody gets your book. And
I hope so too.
And on New Realities, you'll keep people up with your schedule and what's going on.
YouTube.com/New Realities on YouTube. Yes, that's where my latest, hottest, up-to-date.
Good. Thank you, thanks. Alan Steinfeld. I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thanks for inviting me back to Making More Stew. I love that.
Good, thank you. And all this right. is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.